Okay.
Okay, Swamiji.
Ready.
I have a question. Yesterday in class, you were talking about the fact that the teacher uses a relevant word, losing the construed meaning, retaining the root meaning of the word, so that it resolves into the listener as themselves, as the meaning of the self.
Yeah.
I take it this is...
Like Satyam, the construed meaning of Satyam is anything that exists and in time. There is no other Satyam we know. So this is Satyam. You're asking a question. So in time and place, to this person, you're asking the question. This is Satyam. But this Satyam means this is Paramarthikam, which is not true. So the time-bound existence alone we know as existence. Is non-existent, is existent. Now we have to, in this existence, what we call existence, is real Satyam. So this is a very relevant word. Because existence is the nature of the Atma, of the Vastu. Therefore, if you say a tree, the tree also is Satyam Brahma. Once you know that alone, you can come to that. Then what is Brahman? Is Satyam. The ease of the tree. That is Satyam. So we don't understand that. Satyam is always a kind of an adjective to the tree. The tree is, when you say, it is an existent tree. That's how you have to understand. It's an existent tree. So existent becomes an adjective to tree. So that means it is subject to become non-existent, and during its existence also, it can become old, sick, and all that. Vyadigrastha vriksha. Sick vriksha. Like that. And therefore, it needs to be relieved. The word has to be relieved because we want that relevant word. Satyam. It's highly relevant. And therefore, the ease is basic truth. That tree is some kind of an adjective. Namarupa. So, word and name. So ease is qualified by the word. Word meaning called tree. It is not that the meaning of ease is an attribute to tree. So this shift has to take place. In the teaching, that has to be taken care of. The negation part of it is so important. Otherwise, the word won't work. This, technically speaking, the vachyartha is negated to allow the lakshya to work. Means dhatvartha is taken as a dhatu. The meaning of the root is. That is retained. And every other, the incrustations around are negated. And this is true with everything, all words also. But basic words, certain words like Satyam, Jnanam, and these words are very important. Because that's how it is. So that is the jnanam can be a knower, can be jnanam, knowledge can be jnanam, object of knowledge can be jnanam. The lut, jna dhatu with the lut. Karta, kartari lut, karane lut, karmani lut. Mean jnanati iti jnanam. The one who knows is knowledge, is jnanam. Is jnanam. Then jnayate anena iti jnanam, karane lut. So by this one knows, therefore knowledge is also jnanam. Generally that's where we use. Then jnayate iti jnanam, the object also, object of knowledge also can be called jnanam. That lut, this particular suffix, allows all that. Jnayate iti jnanam. Therefore, we have to negate these three. And pure jnā dhatvartha, jnā avabhodane. So you take the root meaning. And root meaning is not the word. Word requires suffix. And now we have, from the word, we have released the root meaning. That's it. Bhashyakara very beautifully tells, bhava sadhanaha nyaptihi. Just knowledge as such, no other suffix. Any other?
If I just follow up on that same line, you were saying yesterday that karta is associated with the karakas,
yeah,
and we bring in grammar. And at that point, you said there's another level.
Another level.
But
yeah,
you didn't mention the other level.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. There are levels, you know, so you can always keep going. There are levels in teaching. So I'm maintaining a level here. Now, I started a level, but it's a little heavy for people in general. And there are people who look for the kind of things, and so. So, but I keep them with me also, the people who find the level is little technical. But I keep them with me, telling certain things with which they can be at home. It's all always dancing within a limited area.
I have a question. I get a little confused when you talk, when it's spoken of all knowledge of Ishvara, and then knowledge in terms of Brahman, like Satyam Jnanam Anantam. And I don't know if those are the same things.
Same truth. Same truth. All knowledge is Brahman. Why all knowledge is Brahman? You in small knowledge, I say, you are Brahman. You are your knowledge. And you are Brahman when I say, all knowledge Brahman. So it's very obvious that both are upadhi. With upadhi is all knowledge. And with jagat upadhi, all knowledge. With individual knowledge upadhi, then small knowledge. But itself is knowledge dhatvartha, the meaning of the root jna, jnaptihi. That is satyam jnanam anantam brahma.
Swamiji, could you say something more about what you mean when you say we all need to be contributors?
I mean, all are consumers. We are born consumers. And as children, we are only consumers. We don't contribute anything. Only children, babies then contribute to the chore. But they can be made contributors by intelligent parents, making the children feel that they have brought joy to them. For that, the mother should look into the eyes of the child and show the mother's joy, you know, looking at the child, seeing the child doing something. And then this fellow, 2-year-old or something, he will get up a stool and then jump and then look at mother, as though he has accomplished something. For the mother it is nothing, but for this fellow it's a big thing. Then the mother should come to that level and make that child feel that he is wonderful. And make the child recognize that how great you are. Then she is a contributor, already a contributor. Because the child will feel, oh, I also do, I can also make my God happy. That makes the child a contributor. And that kind of a mother doesn't exist. Mother means anxiety. Yeah. For that you require a leisure, inner leisure. That's why I say an intelligent mother can make even a child a contributor. Otherwise it is helpless. It doesn't know that I'm going to become big. It has no clue. Everybody is walking, everybody is talking and things like that, and therefore it can't participate. That's why it goes to the ties, because they are not threatened. They are the masters there. And so, you find the children all try to figure out their age group, you know. They all get together of the same age group, they get together. So they don't hang out with the older people. Like teenagers don't hang out. with all older guys. Teenagers, you need not find out your son teenager, where is he? You find out one teenager, that's enough. That is the place where the others will be there. They all get together. Because nobody wants to be threatened. What I say, a child is a consumer in general. And with a feeling that I can't contribute. The word may not be there that I am useless and then I cannot do anything. This is the feeling. An object, a loath is there. So. Self-loath. So I am useless. This is a basic feeling. Then afterwards you become somebody and then that is a superstructure on the basic feeling. And therefore, no matter what you accomplish, the basic feeling of I am no good will continue. So this helplessness making one always feel I am no good has to go. Even as an individual, it has to go. Because it's not meant for staying. It has to go. And to go, you have to do the opposite. Just be a contributor. Reach out and do something. Reach out and do. Reaching out and doing something is what is called contribution. Instead of being a consumer, I become a contributor. So it's a that's how you change. No, you continue to be a consumer and contributor. And the most grown-up person is one who contributes more than one consumes. Yeah.
Swamiji talked about Brahmanishtha. Could Swamiji explain how Brahman, the process that when Brahmanishtha is a constant reality?
No. That's a Brahmanishtha. Nishtha is in terms of knowledge. The clarity thing with, and that's what we gain by Shravana Manana and Nididhyasana. Nishtha. Brahman knowledge is Brahma Vidya, Brahma Jnanam. That Brahma Jnane Nishtha. And yes, he's called Brahma Nishtha, knowledge is called Nishtha. Object of knowledge is Brahman, subject matter of knowledge is Brahman. So, Brahma Nishtha, Brahma Jnana Nishtha. That's the meaning. Knowledge of Brahman has gained the status to be called as Nishtha. Nitaram Stiti. Nishtha, unassailed. And therefore, means it is not wobbly. It is something that stays. Yeah. That is Brahman Nishtha.
So, once that knowledge is there, initially, it's still wobbly. What is the process that it becomes that Nishtha is constant?
What it causes?
Yeah.
You see, that's the growing clarity by Shravanam and Mananam and Nididhyasana, meditation. It always is meditation, really, contemplation. Or more Shravanam, always Ramana. Automatic it becomes, yeah. Shravanam itself becomes contemplation. If it is a good Shravanam.
Swamiji,
once it's been firmly established, I say once Ramanishta has been firmly established,
yeah,
can it then be lost in senility?
Established?
Once it's...
A person who's a Brahmanishta, if they become senile, Alzheimer's, senile, then what happens to the Brahmanishta?
Brahmanishta, knowledge will not suffer, yeah. And if he loses or something, then also in this life, the phalam itself may not be there. But what? Once he had gained knowledge and then whatever had to happen, that all happened. And therefore there is no question of his coming back according to the type of knowledge. Yeah.
It may appear that it was lost.
In this life, he may lose it.
Swamiji, you talk about teaching a child to be a contributor. And as children, we're hurt in many different ways. We create an unconscious to bear that burden. And then as we're taught to be contributors, does that foster an ability of having some will so that when we are performing our karmas, there's certain things we want, and then there's certain things we don't want, and then as we mature, we learn that there's certain things that we don't want because they may hurt us. So is this contributing to a child, does that foster a little more space in that will that you talked about yesterday?
What is that, Emma?
Not sure, Swamiji. Sorry, my mind.
No, I understand.
My ear, somewhere near. You heard, yeah.
If giving this child, the feeling of being a contributor, mother giving that attention, does that then give the child the mental space later to have more willpower to develop? To become a contributor as...
Very good. See, that tendency to contribute will be always there. Then the child, the grown-up person gets... So further assimilation of that being a grown-up person is to be a contributor also. And then the more I contribute, the more mature I am. And then less I consume and more I contribute. And that accounts for maturity. And that is called tyaga also. Tyaga. Tyaga is giving up. So giving up personal aggrandizement and that greed, etc. It's all immature. Child. Greed and all that is child's need. Yeah. That's why your mother's contribution in the growth of a child and as an adult requires, it's very big. And even as a child, to have a good self-worth, to have some self-worth. That's why if the mother has got the leisure to look into the eyes of the child and make the child feel you are wonderful, then it's a great, great thing to happen. Yeah.
Swamiji, in today's class you talked about the objections that are raised in the Shruti. As we as students read and study the Shruti, is that a form of mananam? Like the objections raised in the Shruti could help us clear up our own doubt? So is the study of the Shruti also a form of mananam?
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's a... Shravanam includes the addressing the objections, doubts regarding the meaning of the Shruti, the commitment of the Shruti, the vision of the Shruti. Why this meaning? Why not that meaning? That's all Shravanam. Pramana Shanka. Doubt with reference to Pramana, the words. And then Prameya Shanka. Manana. Doubt with reference to what the Shruti has said. All that is here is one Brahman. So with reference to that vision, if there is any objection from somebody who doesn't accept the Shruti as a Pramana, the one who accepts the Shruti as Pramana will have only Pramana Shanka. Because we have to point out only the meaning of the Shruti. And suppose you say, even though this is the meaning of the Shruti, and that is not tenable, then it becomes Prameya Shanka. Yeah. It's not tenable. Therefore, Shruti is wrong. Or we have to make the Shruti right by interpreting differently. It becomes Prameya Shanka. Mostly Prameya Shanka is from the doubt. Shanka means doubt. The doubt is only with reference to the object of knowledge. Object of knowledge is, all that is here is Brahman. There is Atma. That, with reference to that, if there is any doubt, not because of the Shruti, he doesn't quote a Shruti, and he has figured out something, and he says, atoms are Brahman. Like this, anything can be said. Something is Brahman. We have to meet that fellow on his own ground, in his own ring. And that's what we call manana. Yeah.
Swamiji, there seems to be, sometimes I get asked all the students of yours what to do in certain cases, and in the case of having relative peace of mind, having certain practice to keep the mind peaceful, to be available for the teachings, which is a big issue for me, to keep the mind calm during teachings. Some of them say that, like, you know, it's not, like, for instance, doing yoga or Tai Chi or something like that to keep the body and mind calm. They say that, like, you don't recommend doing that.
Swamiji, some people, some of Swamiji's students, older students, will say sometimes that Swamiji doesn't recommend doing Tai Chi or yoga or some of these disciplines in order to help keep the mind and body peaceful. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
In order to receive the teaching.
In order to have the peace that helps to receive the teaching.
I don't know how much karate is going to help. if that gives you some discipline, it's okay also.
Because Swamiji has blessed me a long time to do that. But I seem to run into a lot of people where I have
certain opinions, very strong opinions, very respect your older students and what to do.
But basically, the martial art is not meant for discipline. It is meant to defend yourself. It is meant to offend also. It is meant to. So I'm defending myself. That means you are already expecting enemies, you know, attacking you. There's a fear involved. And then you cause fear to others also. I'm a black belt. So they have to keep one yard away from me. Yeah, he's a black belt.
Swamiji, those are the kind of the martial arts of the, you know, where that's involved. But there are many disciplines like Tai Chi, yoga, even Qigong, different ones that may have that aspect to them, but there's a totally different aspect that's involved in balancing the mind and the body.
That is good. Yoga we have, we teach it. So. We teach yoga, we have yoga camps here.
Yeah,
we have a yoga studio.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have a yoga teacher. Yoga is useful because it helps you discover more love to your body. Unlike that you do 1 hour, 2 hours, same thing.
Aerobics?
Aerobics, yeah.
Like 100 push-ups.
Aerobics. Yeah, for 1 hour you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry. That is that. That is loath for your body. You want to burn energy. You want to burn energy. Yeah. Yoga is quietly doing just postures. It will help you discover love for yourself. It starts with the body first, instead of loathing the body, but you're loving the body. Okay. What else? One more.
Swamiji, I wonder if you could comment. A few classes ago, Swamiji commented upon the role of willpower in the pursuit of this knowledge. And I wonder if you could comment upon the difference between willpower and effort and how the Mumukshu should view both of those in pursuit of this knowledge.
I heard, but I would like to more highlight, yeah?
Swamiji commented earlier upon the use of willpower, in this knowledge. Could Swamiji differentiate between the terms willpower and effort in reference to gaining this knowledge? How do those terms relate to gaining knowledge?
Will is with reference to effort. Will and effort go together. So, but there is will that is necessary to place yourself in a situation where you can gain knowledge. You need will. You need effort. Like you are coming all the way from San Francisco to this place. So that requires will, that requires effort, that requires money. So this is all will-based. And then even to come to the class and sit there is will-based. Then knowledge as such is pramana-sadhya. It is when you sit yourself there, then will has served its purpose. And it, and it keeps you sitting there also, you may say, yes, will has. But knowledge has nothing to do with will. Will has a role to play in making you sit. That's all it has. It has to serve. But knowledge takes place, like you open your eyes, opening the eyes is will-based. Turning the head is will-based. Looking for something is will-based. Then if something is there, eyes will see. That is not will-based. That is pramana-based. Eyesight will take place whether you like it. It's not will-based. That is why Vedanta is a means of knowing. When you try to see, then it becomes will-based. And what is will-based? Kartritantra. What Vedanta is, for pramana, therefore, it is pramana-tantram, vastu-tantram. Pramana is as true as the object, what you are knowing. So in this there is no will. You open your eyes, eyes bring you the knowledge of the object, the perception of the object. Eyes bring you the perception of the object. So there is no action, there is no will. You cannot change it also. I wish it was there, that is true. When you have eaten and you look for your purse, it is not there. And that is not... So I wish it was there, that is true. But it is not there, it is means of knowledge. So it is will-based. It is will-based. Will-based is wishes that I wish the purse was there. True. But it is not there. It was picked by somebody. It was picked by somebody. Or you didn't bring it. But if it is there, you will see. That seeing is vastu-tantram. Pramana tantram. It is as true as what is there. And will cannot work there. Will can search. Will can help you search. Then if you find it, then it is again pramana tantram. If you don't find it, also pramana tantram. That is also knowledge that it is not there. That is also knowledge. Anupalabdhi. It's also knowledge. Yeah. Okay, I've got a class.
Thank you,
Swamiji. 11:30.
Thank you, sir.
No, 11:30?
No, 11:20, Swamiji. 11
minutes.
Or
11:10. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, all the best for all of you.
Thank you, Swamiji.